Hey there, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. Super honored and super happy that you've chosen to spend a little time with me today. This is Speak From Within Thursday. I am recording the audiobook of Speak From Within, my book about engaging, inspiring, and motivating audiences with your voice, your body, and your spirit. Today, we're going to talk about focus and fragility. But before we get to that, I want to remind you that this episode is brought to you by the book Speak From Within, which you can get in on my website or at Amazon. And if you want the paper copy or the Kindle version, ebook, whatever, you can get it and also follow along with the audiobook. It's up to you. These podcast episodes are the only place you're going to be able to get the whole book for free. If you listen every Thursday, you can go back and catch up every Thursday for the last like 3 months or so I've been doing this. You can get the book this way. Once I've done all the podcast episodes, they're going to disappear because the audiobook is going to be available and only on my website. So that's how I'm doing it, just because I wanted to try the experiment and see if it was going to work. The episode is also brought to you by Brain FM, my favorite app for getting things done. I use it to meditate, to get to sleep, to do my creative work, to do the bills, the 1099s that I have to do for the contractors I hire for singing, all sorts of things. I use it every single day, and I love it. If you want to try it yourself, you can go through my little affiliate link by going to brain.fm/innovativemindset and use the code Innovative Mindset, and if you do, you get 20% off the app. But because I'm an affiliate, I might get a little bit of money from the company for you being the person who went through my link. That's how affiliate links work, from what I understand. And there we go. Alrighty, cool. So here we go with Chapter 10, Focus and Fragility. Let's talk about what I like to think of as charisma. Some people are able to walk into a room and draw everyone else to them. They draw eyes and they draw attention. When you are speaking to a group, no matter the size, you want to invite your listeners towards you. Draw them with your voice and energy, and one of the best ways to do that is through silence. Silence and connection. Communicate with your body instead of your voice for an instant. And I know this is an oldie, but one of the best ways to do that is simply to smile. Just remember, you aren't smiling out of nervousness. You are smiling to engage and reconnect with your audience. Even if the nerves are there, don't let them lead your energy. Imagine that you've got this, and you do. We as a society and as a people have gotten away from communication that is energy and body oriented. We do so many things online, we no longer have that entire avenue with which to connect to others. We miss eye contact, so we have a tougher time communicating. And I would even argue we are losing the ability to read and interpret body language and therefore intent. That perhaps is another entire book. Regardless, the way we communicate leaves a lot up to interpretation. And the more we can see each other and interact with one another, the more we can take in and respond to silent, nonverbal cues. See the work of Albert Mehrabian and the 7-38-55 rule for more information on the relative importance of words, tone, and body language. http://www.kaaj.com/psych/index.html. Email ultimately cannot take the place of a face-to-face meeting. Video platforms that allow meetings across time and distance are fabulous because they bring back that additional set of insights, body language and eye contact. To an extent. However, these platforms don't really allow for eye contact. Have you noticed that when you use Skype, Zoom, or any other video platform, you look at the screen, and that means you're looking down to the person viewing you rather than meeting their eyes? That's because the camera's up at the top center of most monitors. Or phones. The same goes for phones. Have you ever noticed how if you take a selfie but you don't look at the camera, your eyes are just a little off center? That's because there's a little bit of difference between the center of the screen and the camera. Mission. Phone selfie. Go to the bathroom mirror and bring your phone. Take a selfie, what they call a bathroom selfie, and look in the mirror. Now take a look at the picture. Do you see how your eyes are not really looking straight forward? You're really looking slightly off camera. Now this time, try it again and look into the mirror, but focus on where the phone's camera lens is located. Focus exactly there in the mirror. Snap the shot. You will see that this time, it looks like you were taking the picture directly into the mirror. It matters where you focus your eyes and your attention. It matters in a selfie, it matters to the audience, and it matters to you. Just like taking a selfie, if you focus appropriately during a presentation, you will make a direct connection with your audience. If you don't, you'll look and feel off-center and off-target. Are you ready for one of the most important sentences in this entire book? Here it is. To make the best connection with your audience, you must know where to focus. Whether or not you are speaking, being silent, taking questions, or listening, you need to build your perception and connection skills until you can be present and properly focused in your communication. This means you have to choose your focal points carefully. Eye contact alone will no longer do. You have to learn to see inside their spirits, and more importantly, let them see inside yours. The magic happens when we cultivate curiosity and learn to know each other. Does this all sound daunting and even a little weird? I can see how it might, but I will say one thing, get over it. As a society, as a world, we are starving for connection, and many of us have forgotten how to connect in an authentic and substantive way. We must relearn these skills of perception and connection. The best communicators excel at them. And it isn't just about learning how to read people. We can all learn how to read people. We can do cold readings, or we can pick up a copy of Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's relatively easy. The hard part is to allow people to know us. We must allow ourselves to be vulnerable to others. We must open ourselves and be willing to connect, show our true selves, warts and all. I can't stress this enough. The more authentic and intimate your connection with your audience, the more you will be able to speak directly from your heart to their hearts. This is crucial. They have to know whether you are there with them and for them. If they do, they will trust you to the ends of the earth, because they'll realize you only have their best interests at heart. And if they don't, there will always be a separation between you. It might be fine and gauzy, or it might be an almost tangible barrier. If you're not open and willing to be vulnerable with your audience, you'll damage your ability to connect with them. After all, that's what this is all about. You are there to share a piece of your heart and soul. You are the person presenting, connecting, and communicating. If you are not real, if you're not intimate and authentic, you'll turn them off, and then you might as well not have shown up. It won't be easy. Once we're adults, we might feel like we know pretty much everything we need to know. So in order for us to feel safe admitting ignorance of any sort, we must open and unpack that tender part of ourselves. We need to be willing to be fragile, and fragility is hard to come by with coworkers or strangers in an audience. And sometimes it's most difficult to share with those you love best. If you feel like you must always be the dependable and stalwart one, then fragility becomes a vulnerability. Which brings me back to my point. It's not just eye contact. It's heart-to-heart contact, and we need to know how to do it. We need to know how to do it when we walk into a room prepared to meet new people one-on-one or to give a speech to thousands. We must be willing to be vulnerable first in order for our listeners to be willing to be vulnerable with us. Figure out for yourself what you need to be open and vulnerable with your audience. Now, I don't mean that you should go in there and start weeping. You can be open and vulnerable without being a crying mess. Though, if this is not an arena where you can be vulnerable in that way, I advise you to keep that part under wraps. But somewhere in each of us, there lives a part that is seeking, wondering, and learning. It wants to connect with others so that we can blossom in a shared spirit of growth and progress. Before I walk on stage or in front of a class or seminar group, I spend time in meditation and I say a prayer. It goes something like this. May I speak from my heart. May I listen with my spirit. May we connect and be as one, so I can help them learn, and strive and thrive. May this be for the good of all, and may it harm none. So I have spoken, so it shall be done. May this or something better come to pass. I make a promise to myself, to my audience, and to the universe at large that I will endeavor to be present with them and to help them to the best of my ability. I'm reminded right now of that golden nugget, under promise and over deliver. If you connect with your audience on these deepest, intimate, and vulnerable levels, together, you will make miracles. Mission: talk to strangers. I'm going to encourage you to do something that might feel strange. For the next 3 days, look strangers in the eye, paying attention to cultural norms and always using good safety precautions. Please, take care of yourself and don't initiate any sort of contact or connection if it feels at all unsafe. And if you see a spark in them, pay them a compliment. It doesn't have to be physical. Just let them know that you recognize that they have a spark. You might say they seem very confident. You might tell them they're handsome or beautiful. You don't have to say anything else. But if it feels safe, make that connection. Allow yourself the vulnerability of connecting to the delicate inner heart of others. And I can guarantee you, if you tell someone that you recognize their spark, they'll recognize yours. Build that awareness and skill, and when you are in front of a room of hundreds, you will extend that skill outward until it touches every person in that space. Then we know we are present and connected. Then we know that a true exchange of information, energy, sizzle, and light can occur. That's what it takes. It takes being vulnerable to get to a place where people will feel confident enough in us to share, connect, and learn. Mission: smile at strangers. This is another exercise for you if the first one feels too daunting for now. It's about focal points. Until you're ready to be vulnerable enough to see inside the other person's heart and open your heart for them to see inside yours, try quick eye contact with a slight smile. See what that feels like. When you're walking by strangers on the street, make eye contact and smile. That's all. Unless you feel ready and enthusiastic and extroverted, don't go grinning right now. You might not be ready for that. But a small smile to indicate that something in you recognizes something in them will open a world of connection. I'll say it again. Be open. Be real. Be who you are. Be vulnerable and reach out from that tender place. You do that and you will make strong, healthy connections for life. Will you connect with every person in the room? Likely not. But you'll touch more than a few, and you will be enriched by the experience. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Speak From Within Thursday. That was Chapter 10, and we're moving on to Chapter 11 next week. The whole book is going to be week by week, every Thursday until I'm done with it. And I'm hoping that you are learning something from it. If you are, I'd love to hear what your takeaway is from the chapter. Let me drop a comment or DM me or something and let me know, because it's important to me as I write my books to know that I'm connecting with and helping people, right? That's the whole point of this chapter. Anyway, this is Isolde Trachtenberg for the Innovative Mindset Podcast. And the one thing I want to say that is that being innovative ultimately means communicating your message, right? You can be innovative and think creatively and solve problems and do all this stuff, but you might be doing it alone in your basement, and that might not be good enough for you. What might be good enough? Sharing your discoveries and your mission and your message with the world. You do that by opening these lines of communication in the way this chapter just laid out. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got something out of it. Until next time, I remind you to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the podcast if you're new, and it would mean the world to me if you told a friend about it. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2021. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope. Until next time, remember to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind.